Tokyo Olympics are now reaching their peak. Usually at an Olympics, the peak is reached when track and field starts. So track and field athletics have started, the king, the mother, father of all sport. India does not have that much of a stake right now, but India now has many people in the race. Some medals have been assured, others are doing well. So every morning we wake up, because Tokyo is ahead of our time, every morning we wake up to track what is happening, the fate and fortune and the performance of these incredible Indian stars, because it takes some doing to compete at the Olympics. Just competing at the Olympics, just qualifying there is a big deal. And I know many of you demand that I talk more about sport these days, particularly during the Olympic fortnight, but also to indulge myself, I will talk about one sport and how India features in that. And that sport is hockey. That's a sport that we also define very often as a national sport. You know, that sport acquired that reputation when we had 8 Olympic golds. And after that, it's gone up and down. And then cricket's come in and hockey's lost sort of its sex appeal or oomph. It's only lately, I would say, last few years, that Indian hockey teams are doing better. Men as well as women. That's very important, because women qualified for the Olympics again this time. That's a big deal for India. Now, I've just watched the match against Japan, and I will come to that and use that to also tell you the new trends, the big new trends in hockey. And it's important to understand them, to also understand the game which we might call our national game, but which very few of us know anything about. I know most of you can tell me even how Duckworth Lewis is calculated at any stage of a limited overs match, but most of you will struggle if I asked you what are the 5 rules or 7 rules that were changed from traditional hockey to modern hockey that is played now to make it faster, to make it more competitive, to make it more goal scoring. I suspect most of us will struggle, because we have taken our eye off the ball when it comes to our national game. Now, but before I go there, a correction is in order. A correction and a clarification. So many of you in our episode 800, where I compared Kerala's performance, Kerala's COVID performance, and the point I made was that when India's peak was reached on May 6, that was more than 4 lakh cases a day, Kerala was just 10% of that peak. When India has now plateaued at around 40,000, 42,000 per day, Kerala is 50% or more than 50%. Now, many of you pointed out that the graphs we used misleading data. And I agree that it was misleading data. So this is the graph that we used yesterday. Now, you are right to say that we used absolute numbers for Kerala and nationally. And since Kerala has a much smaller population, they will have much smaller numbers, so we did not compare likes with likes. To that extent, you are right, and I had said in response to many of you that we made that mistake and we'll correct it. But since some of you thought that maybe we had used that and we had deliberately done that to make Kerala look better or less worse, that is not the case, because the point is made any which way. So here is the corrected graph. If you see this corrected graph, then this is much clearer. What this shows is that at one point, now this is not absolute numbers, this is just percentages or proportion. At one point, around time India was at its peak. Now the graphic will not show you the peak because this is not a graphic about absolute numbers. This is purely about percentages. When India was at its peak, Kerala was a small percentage of India's numbers. When India has reached its trough or its plateau, Kerala is a much larger percentage. This is just a graphic about percentages. And see how Kerala's percentage has gone up from 10% to 50% and above right now. So that is the limited point we were making. So point is made any which way. Of course, we could have got our graphic more accurate, and we'll be careful in future. But no point was twisted and no point was misleading. This was absolutely the correct argument. Now, why Kerala is now 50% of the rest of the country? Why Kerala was 10% when the country was at its peak? That is something that we had explained yesterday, so I will not repeat that. But since many of you asked me this question, I owed you an answer. That done, I'll take you back to that match India just played against Japan. I was watching it and India won 5-3. Now, several things stand out in that match. One, what stands out is that 8 goals were scored in that match. Does it mean that both teams had weak defense? Does it mean both teams had super special forwards? 8 goals in a hockey match? You don't see that happening in a football match unless it's a very one-sided match. So that is one point. Second, you see the pace of the match. The pace of the match, as long as India was attacking, India looked supreme in the field. Wherever India relaxed or fell back on the defensive, they either conceded a goal or they looked like conceding a goal. So if you see the second quarter, the hockey is now played in 4 quarters, not 2 halves. 4 quarters of 15 minutes each. Between any quarters, there is a 2-minute interval, except the second and third quarter, which is a longer 15-minute interval. So that's like the earlier original interval, but 4 15-minute quarters, so a 60-minute game, not a 70-minute game. 60-minute game, not what Shah Rukh Khan said, ye 70 minute hai tumhari zindagi mein. No, now it's 60 minutes aapki zindagi mein. And the game is much faster. So in those 60 minutes, you saw when India was attacking, India was okay. When India fell on the defensive or India relaxed, they conceded space to the Japanese, and Japanese actually at one point equalized. So when the second quarter ended, although India were in the lead by 1 goal, it looked like the Japanese were rampant and they might equalize anytime. And as we saw, it happened, and once again India turned on attack, and when they were attacking, we scored 3 quick goals, later conceded 1, but 5-3. So first of all, a lesson. The lesson is, when India attacks, India does better, because India's hockey, subcontinent's hockey, was defined as attacking hockey. That is why the subcontinent always had the 5-3-2-1 pattern for their hockey. That is 5 forwards, 3 in the half line, 2 defenders, deep defenders, and 1 goalkeeper. European teams which played power game, they came out with other combinations. They had many people in the middle. They had a sweeper back sometimes. They had 3 fullbacks, 1 withdrawn forward, and many of those innovations, because they were very stout with their defense and they were physically much fitter and stronger, longer legs. So they relied on long hits, long passes, and opportunistic goal scoring along with fantastic defense. In fact, if India does come up against Belgium, you will see an example of that. Belgium actually specializes in that kind of game, very stout defense. So basically, they frustrate you, and then every now and then space will be created for their forwards either to score a goal or to get you to commit a foul, get a defender to commit a foul in your striking circle D, in your scoring area, and concede a penalty corner. And then they were very good with penalty corner. So that is how the game is now played, and that is how India does well when they stick to their natural instinct, which is attack, attack, attack. So India, Pakistan, at their peak, those 5 men or women in front, they are like an attacking cavalry. It's like a cavalry charge. The half line is the link between them and the defense. Half line feeds the attackers. Half line also falls back and helps the defenders. So that is how the game is played. When India lost to Australia 7-1, now why did India suddenly lose 7-1? And first of all, you say, 7-1, tennis score. How can India lose with a tennis score? I will explain that in terms of how hockey is played now. Before that, when India lost 7-1, there was an article in the Indian Express written by Hasan Sardar, the famous Pakistani former center forward. I've seen him play at his peak, fantastic player. In fact, India had very good defense at that point in the same epoch. So India was able to deal with him, or India had a very good center half also at that time. That was Ajit Pal Singh, no less, who was able to control him, because in hockey, usually the center half in your half line also controls the center forward or the spearhead from the other side. So Hasan Sardar wrote this in the Express, and he said, why did India fall on defense? Who told India to fall on defense? If India were attacking, they would have scored a few more goals. and they would have given less ball possession to the Australians. And he made the point, which is something I wasn't so conscious of, he made the point that Australians actually now play the subcontinental style hockey. So they have five forwards, five attackers. So they are constantly on your case. And if you fall on the defensive, subcontinental teams, I'm not saying they have bad defense, but defense is not our main strength. Attack is our main strength. So when you attack, you keep the ball with you. You need more of the ball possession. India, Pakistan, we cannot play like say Spain or Belgium or the Netherlands or many of those countries have been playing. So that is the one key thing, one takeaway. And you've seen that since then, miscalculation against Australia, India have been attacking. Now, the second question is, why so many goals? Eight goals scored today. Eight goals scored in the India-Australia match, 7-1. India beat Argentina 3-1. Now, Argentina is the reigning Olympic champion. India beat them 3-1. Usually, you would think, ek goal se harega, jitega, do goal se harega, jitega. Itna goal difference kaise hota hai? That is because the game of hockey has now changed. And game of hockey has now changed so fundamentally that a lot more goals are scored. And that's why when a team comes under pressure, sometimes to concede 5, 6, 7 goals, it looks very bad on paper, but it happens in real life because once the other team is attacking and they are finding spaces, goal scoring opportunities are much more now because the game has changed. So how has the game changed? Now many people say that, oh, India was ruling world hockey, or India and Pakistan were ruling world hockey, as long as it was played on natural turf, that is grass, and it had the old rules, etc., etc. But you know, all these rules were changed and the surface was changed from natural grass to astroturf or surfaces like that, artificial surfaces, perfect surfaces. And that has worked to the disadvantage of Indians and Pakistanis to the subcontinental style of hockey, and that's when the decline of subcontinent's hockey started. I beg to differ, and to understand why I beg to differ, we have to see what changes have been made. So the biggest change was the change in the surface on which you play. The surface right now usually is astroturf, polygrass, one of those. Now there are basically two kinds of surfaces. One is an artificial surface with like a polyester grass or some artificial grass which has to be watered all the time, so it's kept bound, and that's why you find in hockey matches those sprinklers running in the breaks or before the game or after the game for the next match, because these surfaces need to be soaked with water so this artificial grass can hold and ball can travel smoothly and fast. So the intention is a perfect movement of the ball. So there is much fewer of cases of the ball bouncing, hitting somebody's foot, referee having to blow the whistle, because the whole effort has been to reduce whistling and reduce interruptions in the game. Why? Because by mid-70s, the hockey world realized that nobody was coming to watch it except in a couple of countries, India and Pakistan, and there too cricket was now getting a lot more of the audiences. So hockey rules were changed to make it faster. So the big change was the surface. Now, initially, India, Pakistan, they said this is to our disadvantage because this means there is much fewer stoppages. Also, when you run on this grass, then your legs tire a bit more. So, we are not as strong as the Europeans and the Australians and the New Zealanders. So, this is to our disadvantage. The answer to that from FIH, that is the International Hockey Federation, that was, look, any game that becomes faster, that requires better strength, both more energy, more stamina, and becomes faster, that games become better. Because what is sport? Sport is a test of pace, skill, strength, stamina. So there's nothing wrong with it. So that has now carried on. Although right now, there's a little bit of debate, and that is sort of an ecological debate, that these surfaces should now yield to hybrid surfaces. I'm not going into that. That will be a combination of a little bit of sand and this artificial grass. So that will require irrigation still, watering still, but less watering. That is to conserve water. But I don't think that will change the game at all. Then, one of the latter day changes is four quarters. Now, why four quarters? Four quarters happened, one, for the simple reason that now every game needs TV time. And on TV, you need advertisements. And you need audience to stay on. So instead of two halves, two long halves, four quarters, the game changes quickly and you get a couple of minutes break, and also the TV channel gets the ad break. It's like, you know, there's a gap between overs when an ODI game or a T20 game is going on. Even if somebody can bowl more quickly than that, a turnover faster than that, because you need that time for advertising, because that's how revenue comes into a sport. Also, this makes the sport much faster, because players can relax in 2 minutes, come to the other side, and then again start playing. Now, lots of other changes were made. One thing that you hear about a lot these days, for example, is a drag flick. Now, what is a drag flick? In hockey, when you take a penalty corner, first of all, the penalty corner rule changed. The penalty corner right now is pushed in, the ball is pushed in by the attacking side, one person from the attacking side, one player from the attacking side, from a spot at least 10 meters away from the goalpost on that side. It can be from the left or the right. That ball is pushed in, and then there is a stopper you will find. The stopper has to let the ball go across the D, across the striking circle. So ball once has to travel across the D, even by 2 inches, and then it has to be the striker pushes it into the D and strikes from there, because if he hits from outside or she hits from outside, that is not a goal. So it has to go out, and then the striker has to hit it. Now, when you hit it, the rule is that for safety of other players, you cannot hit it higher than 46 centimeters. That's about half a meter. That is the height of that board that you see behind the goal. Because the idea is that if you hit it higher than that, then you will be endangering somebody's shin or knee or maybe head or chin or whatever. But what you are allowed to do is you are allowed to push it or flick it as high as you wish, as long as this is directed at the goal. Now, the reason that rule was allowed, the relaxation was allowed, was when you're pushing and when you're flicking, it will not go with that speed. So that is where players have developed this new technique called drag flick. And this was first developed, as you would suspect, by the Aussies, by the Australians. And the man who first used it successfully in 1987 was Australian striker Jay Stacey. So what happens in this, it's tough for me to explain, but basically as the ball comes, the stopper stops it, the striker drags the ball back, and it's an art. Everybody can't do it. That's why drag flickers are specialists. Drags the ball back, so it rolls back on his stick so as to gather momentum, and then pushes it into the goal. And then it can go at any height. So most goals are now scored with drag flicks. That would not have been allowed earlier. Now it's allowed. That's one of the reasons why more goals are scored now. Then lots of other changes have taken place which we may not realize. Football, you just watch Euro. The big deal in football is offside. If you watched that movie, Gurinder Chadda's movie, Bend It Like Beckham, there is a little lecture on what is offside. If these players are here, if these players are here. Generally, the rule is for offside that any part of the body of any attacker, if that part of the, any part of the attacker's body is ahead or closer to the opponent's goal line, then both the ball, that means the ball is behind him, and the second last defender, the second last opponent. So it's a very intricate rule. That's why when goals are scored in football, everybody says, offside tha. Are offside kyun ho gaya? That means he ran ahead of the ball when there was no defender, not more than one defender ahead of him, which means he ran ahead of the ball when 10 defenders were behind him. Then becomes offside. In hockey, offside rule was abolished. So what that means is that your attackers can be lurking anywhere for the ball. They can be lurking next to the opponent's goal, and if the ball is sent to you, you can just trap the ball. As long as you trap the ball or take the ball to inside the D, you can strike from there, you can score a goal. There is no offside to hockey, and that's one of the other reasons why so many goals are scored, because FIH wanted to make hockey more exciting. It wanted to reduce whistling by the referee, because if you are of my generation, you might remember old commentary sessions by Jasdev Singh and others who will say, "Aur wo deeming hai, aur ye infringement hua, aur ye shot mara lekin sticks ka foul hua, aur ye shot mara lekin wo offside the." all that is now gone. So the game goes on much faster and a lot more goals are scored. So the old question of whether this was a fair goal or not, will this goal be allowed or not, that is now mostly out of the picture. Then the long corner has now changed. Long corner in football, you see, it's actually ball is actually kicked in from the corner of the goal line. In hockey also used to be like that. And then in hockey, as in football, it did not make such a difference. It wasn't such a big deal. But now when a ball touches a defender's stick and goes across his goal line, not through his goal line outside, then the attacking side is given a long corner. It's still called the long corner, but it is now like a free hit taken from the 23-meter line. 23-meter line, I presume, is what used to be called 25 gas ki rekha, 25-yard line earlier. So you get a free hit in front of the goal, but outside the D, and you can pass the ball to anybody. So that rule has changed. Again, it has made long corners a better opportunity for getting the ball into the D and for setting up an attack. The next important thing, overhead play. Overhead play, now rules have changed. Earlier, any overhead play was seen as dangerous play and fouled. Today, you can hit the ball overhead or scoop the ball, not hit so much as scoop or flick, as long as no defender is within about 5 yards or 4.5 meters of you. So it is not seen to be dangerous. You can do it. And that's why the scoop and the flick is used a lot more right now. Then there is no extra time. If the match is drawn, in terms of the score, no extra time. Why no extra time? Because once again, the match had to be made television friendly. Because extra time means then what happens to the next program that is on the way, right? So now no extra time. Now simply 4 quarters, and if you don't have a result, then there is a shootout. And the shootout also now has changed. Shootout earlier was straightforward push, or what used to be called penalty stroke, say from about 7 meters from the goal line. No longer. Now you get the ball, you have to make the ball stop dead at the 23-meter line, and from there the attacker dribbles, lone attacker dribbles. So this is one against one, lone attacker versus the lone goalkeeper. And if you can hit the ball into the goal, then you score. Otherwise, goalkeeper can stop you, and you can't take forever weaving patterns around the goalkeeper. You've just got 8 seconds to do it. So that is another way of making the game much faster and making the timings of the game much more predictable for television. Many other changes have been made with the same purpose in mind. That is making the pace of the game faster. For example, earlier, if your stick was raised even a little bit above your shoulder, it was a foul of sticks. Today, unless you're actually raising it overhead to threaten somebody, or looks like it might actually be dangerous to somebody close to you, a defender close to you, you have a lot more freedom with using your stick. The other thing is, because earlier there was offside, you were under pressure to build the game, which means dribble the ball, give short passes, build the game so that your attackers moved ahead with the ball. The ball stayed a little bit ahead of the attacker, so they were not offside. What that did was, one, it gave the more skilled side with wrists and stick work, as the subcontinental team was, a better chance of building attacks. But at the same time, it gave a smarter, fitter defense more time to fall back on defense. That now with the offside gone, that is not so important. So you might say that works to the disadvantage of the subcontinental style, but I think anything that makes the sport faster is good for any style, and all styles then have to be adapted. For example, India used to play this slow style test cricket in the past, mainly built around spin bowling. But now as the game has changed, India has built pace bowling, they've learned to play pace bowling. They've also learned to bat much faster, and they are also competing at the top level. They are among the top teams all the time in the more powered version of the game, that is ODIs and T20s. For the hockey also, the same thing happened. India took a lot of time changing, but they seem to have changed quite adequately, and that is why they are number 3 or number 4 right now in the world. Now, before I finish this, I will also tell you how the decline of Indian hockey started. It did not start because hockey became faster. It did not start because there was a European conspiracy to change the surface and change the rules. Anything that's faster is good for the sport. Anything that's good for the spectator is good for the sport. The sport is not played to guarantee that one style wins or one set of countries wins. But 1968 was that turning point year. India failed to get the Olympic gold for the first time in 1960. They lost to Pakistan in the final. That was a surprise defeat, the first time since 1928 when India had won the first gold medal. 64, India won the gold again at Tokyo. In that year also, the Olympics were at Tokyo. 68 at Mexico, that's where India got it wrong. Because between 64 and 68, a lot of complacency built in. Because in 1966, I think at Bangkok, India had won the Asian Games also and defeated Pakistan. So the belief was that we are now, Pakistan is the only competition, we can defeat them quite easily. There is the problem now. Now, that complacency, plus there was a lot of politics in the team. And teams split in two camps. Two camps, unfortunately, were the two deep defenders of the team, the finest defenders in the world, the two fullbacks, Prithipal Singh, who was also called India's penalty king, and also Gurbakhsh Singh. And they were fighting and the team was split vertically between them. And they both wanted to be captains. So what did the Hockey Federation do? They said, all right, India will now have joint captaincy. So both went as joint captains. Now, can you imagine two defenders, deep defenders, hate each other's guts? They are great defenders, but they hate each other's guts. They are joint captains, right? Ball goes between them. You can imagine those things happening. So in fact, I use that example all the time in my team leadership planning and management by saying, don't have two persons in charge, have one captain, because India had two captains once and that's the first time India did not make the Hockey Olympics final. So India got the bronze in 68 at Mexico, India got the bronze again in 72 at Munich, and after that India went into a downward spiral. India got the gold in 1980 at a very truncated Olympics, but since then has not won a medal. And it also so happens that a lot of similar things, mostly politics and mostly interference by officials, including the generals and the Pakistan government, has ruined Pakistan hockey also, to the extent that Pakistan has not qualified for the Olympics this year. So once again, what has changed with hockey and why? And what was the purpose? One, increase the pace of the game, good for everybody. Fewer whistles, good for everybody, so game goes on. More ad time, good for everybody, including the players, because they're earning more money than before now and hockey leagues are coming up. Predictable schedules for television, so no extra time. That's also important for the commercial viability of the sport. And also take the game to more countries and make it more popular. In fact, so much so that when FIH saw that game was declining in India and Pakistan, particularly in India, they got very concerned and they've been giving quite a lot of funds to Indian Hockey Federation to keep Indian hockey going and to improve it, and that has had results. And one of the contributions they've made is helping India get foreign coaches. So even right now, India's coach is Graham Reid, who's a former Australian Olympian. He was in the Australian Olympics team that won the silver at Barcelona. He was a defender and also a midfielder, and he's now at the age of 56, Indian hockey's coach. And you can see that he's following the Indian method, but with a lot of Australian characteristics. And finally, the big change that I haven't yet mentioned, which also has had the same effect of making the game faster, tougher, sharper. And that is the change in the material and technology of making hockey sticks. Earlier, hockey sticks were made of wood, or what we used to call shatoot ki lakdi, or Punjabi mein toot di lakkar, which is mulberry wood. Now it's mostly made of composite materials. Composite materials are like graphite carbon, a bit like tennis rackets also. Again, to make the ball travel faster, to make it more flexible, to improve the grip. So now it's like a combination of fiberglass and aramid fiber and carbon fiber. Also, because of the drag flick, a lot of players now are now experimenting with the curve of the hockey stick. So they are able to curl it back and then push it. On that now, FIH has put some restrictions, so you can't innovate too much. But this hockey stick today is a lot more effective than hockey sticks of the past. So once again, that's a reform in the game. So challenge for India now is to win in this reformed version of the game of hockey and not keep whining about the changes and calling them a conspiracy.